My guest at this time is Heather McDonald, the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute. She is also the author most recently of The War on Cops, How the New Attack on Law and Order Makes Everyone Less Safe. That subhead would be funny if it wasn't so concerning Ms. McDonald's trip to the West Coast several days ago. She was greeted with raucous protests at the Claremont McKenna College and also some protests at UCLA. She joins me now, not so much to go over the exact details of those protests, although we will touch on it, but what she thinks it really means about the fair exchange of ideas and free speech in this country as the nation becomes more polarized. And Heather, thanks so much for being with us.
Well, thank you, Greg. Americans have been hearing for a long time about the ideological monolith that is American universities, the fact of the professoriate being overwhelmingly liberal to left-wing. And I had a direct experience of how the student body reacts to a nonconforming opinion. It basically reacts like an immune system does, surrounding the alien virus with corpuscles to try to expel it from the body politic. So there is now just increasingly an insistence that everybody hew to the same line, and that line is something that is very, very dangerous for the future of America. It holds that this country is rife with oppression, that minorities in particular are the victim of nonstop bigotry, and anybody who dares propose facts to the contrary is simply not to be tolerated.
Obviously, as you mentioned, many campuses across the country, the vast majority, tilt to the left, both in terms of the administration, the faculty, and even the students. And so what you have to say about police and the realities of statistics and shooting deaths and that sort of thing is going to be viewed somewhat skeptically. But what has the trend looked like for you? Because I'm sure this is nothing new for you speaking on campus, in terms of how you've been received, maybe just as recently as a few years ago, as opposed to what we're seeing now?
Well, I've had walkouts. I've had protests of people that in the audience at Berkeley Law School standing up, holding signs representing the victims, black victims of police shootings. The day before Claremont McKenna, I had a effort to storm the stage, but Claremont McKenna, that was at UCLA, but Claremont McKenna was a blockade around the building where I was supposed to speak to prevent anyone from entering to be able to listen to me in person and interact with me. That's certainly the most extreme that I've experienced, but it is along the line of the trend that you're suggesting. Most viciously in Berkeley with riots, the destruction of property, attacking people perceived to be supporters of Trump or supporters of the speaker in Berkeley, Milo Yiannopoulos, and certainly the physical violence that was used in Middlebury College to prevent Charles Murray from speaking, and that was directed against a faculty member who was escorting him out of the room. So it does seem like the trend is getting worse.
What was your experience? What has been your experience with college administrators in this sort of environment? And in general, why do you think they don't take a stronger line against this type of violent or disruptive protest?
Well, we have an ethos of colleges today, of the consumerist ethos, which is simply to cater to students' enjoyment. You know, we have great inflation. We have the massive expenditures on extremely fancy facilities that nobody who went to college 40 years ago, say, could imagine today. So college administrators are reluctant to discipline students for clear violations of their rules for fear of alienating the parents, alienating the student darlings. So that's a purely sort of economic self-interest explanation for the passivity of administrators in the face of this. But there's also an ideological one, I think. The campus bureaucracies are being colonized now by people of the left who believe in identity politics and have a stake in students thinking of themselves as victims, because that necessitates allegedly an ever-growing student service and diversity bureaucracy. So there's a self-interest there in not trying to break through this delusion that students are somehow at risk on campuses.
Well, let's move from self-interest to self-awareness. You've talked about this incident with the Fox News Channel pretty recently, and you say there's a twisted irony with what you experienced and others have experienced on campus. Here's a clip from your appearance on Fox and Friends.
This is not just my loss of free speech. These students are exercising brute force against their fellow students to prevent them from hearing me live. The hilarious thing is they call themselves anti-fascists. This is an exercise of brute totalitarian force.
Essentially, you're making the point here, Heather, that they're becoming the exact thing that they pretend to protest.
I'm just amazed that anybody has the sheer gall to label themselves anti-fascist, who then goes in and says, we are shutting down, whether it's me, Heather McDonald, or Charles Murray, or Ann Coulter, and nobody else gets to hear that person without anybody taking a vote. I mean, it is the very definition of at least soft totalitarianism, and yet they are just so proud of themselves for believing that they are fighting the fascists, and they get away with this hypocrisy.
Heather, if this isn't addressed in a meaningful way, and we've already discussed why the administrators are reluctant to do it, where does this end?
It ends badly, Greg. These students graduate. They take levers of power in government, in corporate HR departments, and they are absolutely committed to the view, again, that America is profoundly racist, sexist, misogynist, you name it. And they will put in policies to support that view. And America has had traditionally the greatest degree of freedom of speech of any Western industrialized country. There's much stronger speech codes in Europe. I think we could be moving in that direction. And that means that there's less and less possibility for correcting the errors that guide so many members of the cultural and political elites.
And just to provide a full picture, obviously, headlines like this and others focus on the protesters and those who don't even want to let you speak. From your experience, are most students still interested in the discussion, even though they might not agree with you, or are more and more increasingly becoming like the protesters and they simply want to stifle anything they think they might not agree with?
Well, that's a hard thing to answer. When I wrote about the riots in Berkeley to shut down the Milo Yiannopoulos speech, and I watched some of his speeches on YouTube, and what was amazing to me was to see a large crowd of students that were kind of hanging on his every word, and these were not like clones of Milo, who's a sort of a fabulously flamboyant stereotype of a gay fruitcake. These people in the audience look more like their fraternity brothers and sisters. So that to me suggested that there is still an audience out there for people to stand up to the orthodoxies. But on the other hand, you know, there's still the brainwashing is very effective. And students are told, you know, that the police are racist, that mass incarceration is a reality that is aimed at re-enslaving blacks. And if you're hit with that enough, you do start to believe it.
It's an amazing story. Heather, we're glad you're okay. They did a good job keeping you safe there, at least. Thank you for sharing your story, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Greg. I appreciate it.
Heather McDonald is the Thomas W. Smith Fellow at the Manhattan Institute. She's also the author, most recently, of The War on Cops, How the New Attack on Law and Order Makes Everyone Less Safe. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.